Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to church today. Happy Father's Day once again to all the dads. And happy Youth Day to everyone. Because here at Thrive, we're future-minded. So we've got a youthful spirit and a youthful heart about us. So you can give yourself a little quiet pat on the back and say, happy youth day to yourself. But really, what an amazing day to just have birth, to be able to celebrate birth, you know. Celebrate the amazing people that we have here at our church, our amazing dads who are just such great example setters and so present and so just involved in their kids' lives here in the life of the church. And also be able to celebrate our fearless teens and our fearless young adults at Thrive. And I say fearless because to be a Christ follower in this day and age as a young person is immensely tough, you know, with all the opposition that's against them. And here they are just worshiping, following Jesus so passionately here at church and all the while in their various worlds as well. So I salute you guys so much for what you do and who you are. So it really is amazing to be able to celebrate both these things. But right now, my privilege is to celebrate none other than week 3 of God in the Movies. Come on, come on. The one time of the year where popcorn eating is acceptable and before the morning. Like, who watches a movie in the morning and then eats popcorn? It seems weird any other time of the day, but right here, right now, we love it. But really, the whole series up till now has been so, so amazing. You know, week 1 was so great. Colleen speaking about how it is that we can live a life full of purpose. And then last week, Pastor Brian cheated by playing a very awesome teaching for Mark Varagis on how it is that we can fully love and fully follow God more passionately in our lives. So it really was an amazing teaching really one worth adopting in our lives. And both principles that are golden and worth just applying in our lives every single day. And today is going to be week 3, and we're just going to unpack another movie, another element. But all the while doing so, we can know that we can do it while enjoying popcorn. And also, don't forget that we've got a selfie competition on the go. So after the service, you can just, during the movies and during the movie clips, you can just scout around and look, okay, who would be a great person to take a selfie pic with? Because afterwards, you can take them to the selfie booth, take a picture with them, and then post that picture on social media, tag Thrive, and then that person could win you 2 movie tickets, plus the popcorn snacks that go with it as well. I mean, come on. So choose wisely. Don't say I didn't warn you. But before we go any further, before you take another bite of your popcorn, would you please join me in standing? And let's open up and pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege and opportunity to hear your word. Please speak deeply into our hearts and into our lives. Help us, Lord, to really be invested in all that you have in store for us and all that you want to speak deeply into our hearts. And we pray, God, that as we do so, as we apply your word, may we see ourselves genuinely thriving in every area of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may take your seat. Well, today's movie is an absolute classic. So classic that you'll be surprised. We actually haven't done it yet for God in the Movies. Like, for all the years of doing God in the Movies, we haven't done this movie. And you'll have your mind blown away by the fact that we haven't done it. But really is a classic movie. And this classic, legendary movie is none other than The Lord of the Rings 2, The Two Towers. So real classic, real awesome movie. A movie that was released in 2002, 22 years ago. Soak that in. That's how old you are. I had to live with this. So you're going to live with it too. But I remember being 12 years old, sitting with 2 boxes of popcorn on either side of me while watching this movie in the cinemas all by myself, having butt cramps all the while, but enjoying my popcorn. But it was such a good movie. So worth it. What a legendary movie. But it's a movie that follows and is the sequel of the first Lord of the Rings movie, The Fellowship of the Ring. It follows the story of Frodo and his friend Sam on their way to destroy the One Ring at Mount Doom in Mordor. And while they're on this quest, they get followed around by a little sneaky little bugger by the name of Sméagol / Gollum. You know, pick his name, you choose, but he's a really little bugger there that tries to destroy their plans. You know, so he is there all the while. And while all of this is taking place with them, the other main characters of the movie are just out there trying to make sure that the advancing enemy armies aren't going to destroy all of Earth whilst Frodo and Sam are on this quest. So they're fighting everyone else while these little guys try to take the ring to Mordor. But to get us all excited and passionate about the movie, let's have a look at the trailer. Thanks so much.
What business does an elf, a man, and a dwarf have in the Riddermark? Speak quickly!
We track a band of Uruk-hai westward across the plain. They have taken two of our friends captive.
Look for your friends, but do not trust to hope. It has forsaken these lands.
We're lost. I don't think Gandalf meant for us to come this way.
He didn't mean for a lot of things to happen, Sam.
I come back to you now, at the turn of the tide. Sauron's forces have begun their attack. He is using Saruman to destroy your people.
They were unarmed. They had no warning.
This is but a taste of the terror that Saruman will unleash. You must fight.
I will not risk open war.
Open war is upon you, whether you would risk it or not.
A new power! Rising. Its victory is at hand.
There is an army bred for a single purpose, to destroy the world of men.
You must lead the people to Helm's Deep.
By order of the king, the city must empty.
Where is she? The woman who gave you that jewel?
The alliance between men and elves is over.
Our time here is ending. Arwen's time is ending. Let her go.
Where is it?
Just tie him up and leave him.
No!
You know the way to Mordor.
There will be no dawn.
The ring.
Frodo!
It's taken hold of you.
You have the gift of foresight. Tell me what you have seen.
He is not coming back.
The defenses have to hold.
They will hold. There is nothing for you here. Only death.
There is still hope.
Yes, do you feel it? You are. Permission to cancel all Father's Day plans and watch Lord of the Rings 1, 2, and 3 for the rest of the day. Granted. This movie is an epic quest. You know, it's a quest to save the world. In fact, if you want to say, it's a quest of a lifetime. And did you know when it comes to our lives, we also have a quest of a lifetime. We also have a quest that if we can get it right, can save the lives of those around us. If we can get it right, it can take us from strength to strength and make sure that our life guarantees that our lives remain successful. It is a quest, like Frodo and Sam's quest, that comes to us, and we don't really have a choice of whether we're going to accept it or not. Because accepting it, again, means that we live in success, and we live in a making sure that those around us live well and live safe. But not accepting it. In other words, treating it as apathetic or treating it as not that important or not that big of a deal. Not accepting it could land up and could make sure that we have our lives living in a destructive space and potentially destroyed. It's a quest that if you're dad in the house, accepting it could be your greatest legacy that you can leave for your kids. It's a quest that if you're a young adult or a teen in the room right now, that if you accept it, can help you live head and shoulders above the rest of those around you. It's a quest that every mom and every woman in the house here just gets so intuitively and so well. But it's always worth having at greater capacity and with great intentionality. And this quest of a lifetime is none other than a quest to get wisdom. Wisdom. A quest to get wisdom. Proverbs 4 verse 7 tells us, getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever else you get insight. The proverb makes it clear that above all else that you want to do in the journey of life, above all else that you think that, yes, if I can get that thing, it's amazing. If I could be there, that would be great. If I could be amongst these people, that would be so powerful. Amongst all of that, if you don't start with wisdom, nothing else can have its rightful place or have its success. So this proverb makes it clear that on top of our list of things that we want to achieve in our lives, getting wisdom has to be on top of it all. And that's why the title for today's message is simply this. The quest of a lifetime, get wisdom. Get wisdom. So for Frodo and Sam, getting wisdom was the most important thing that they could do, and anything else that they wanted to do had to filter in after that. Nothing else mattered until they were in Mount Doom, in Mordor, having gotten rid of the ring. Apart from that, everything else they want to do doesn't matter. And the same is true for our lives, is that if we want whatever else that we want to do in our lives, unless we have wisdom undergirding it, unless we have wisdom just making sure that that's the mechanism which we get that thing, nothing else matters until we go onto that quest and until we complete the quest and until we have wisdom as a big part of how we live our lives. So having an amazing spouse doesn't matter if we don't have the wisdom to really live out a relationship well. Having incredible kids doesn't matter until we have the wisdom of how it is that we can raise them well. Having a great job doesn't matter if we don't have the wisdom of how it is that we can develop a great work ethic and how it is that we can handle our finances well. And having a powerful encounter with God doesn't matter until you have the wisdom of how it is that you can grow your friendship with Him and spend time with Him every day. So the list goes on the various things that just don't matter until wisdom is achieved and wisdom is received. So getting wisdom is the most important thing we can do because getting wisdom determines our future. So to help us live this way, to help us to be the types of people who just live in wisdom and get wisdom like every day, week in, week out, what we're going to do is look at how it is that we can develop two legs, like normal legs that we would walk on. Two legs for this quest that we're going to go on, and this quest to go for wisdom, this quest that we're going to live for a lifetime. And as we develop both these legs, what we'll find is that we're always on reach towards wisdom. And the Bible is so passionate about getting wisdom because it knows how close it is to us. It knows that it's not that far out of reach. It's just an ask away. It's just a couple of principles away. You know, and as we live that way, what we begin to find is that as we're just walking these two legs, not just one hop, like one leg, but like, as we apply both these legs, what we find is that wisdom is just within grip, within reach. And as we live that way, we find out that our God, our generous God, will bless us with wisdom. So we're going to do this. We're going to look at these two legs, all the while seeing how the movie can help us to do so, but in all the while just enjoying popcorn. So crunch away. Enjoy your popcorn away. So the first leg we're going to look at in the journey is how in this journey, in this quest, the quest has opposition. The quest has opposition. Just as Frodo and Sam had intense opposition to destroy the ring, our quest for wisdom has opposition. And that opposition is an unwise world. Psalm 14 verse 1 tells us, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Many people, they don't really say it with their mouths, but can say it with the way they live their lives, live as though there is no God. Finding love in all the wrong places, finding fulfillment in life in all the wrong places, spending their money or trying to find security or financial security in all the wrong ways because they live as though there is no God. And what Scripture encourages us and says to us is that to live this way is unwise. It's unwise because it's living as though there is no God helping you. It's living as though there is no loving God who desperately cares for you and desperately wants your best for you and has your best interest at heart. When we begin to live in a way in which we have a God that loves us, you know, we're able to find out that, okay, I don't have to hoard everything that I have. I can live off his principles of generosity because he has my best interests at heart. You know, we realize that, okay, I can live more sacrificially in my relationships. I don't have to be self-serving. I don't have to be independent. I don't have to be isolated because his principles apply that the more I give of myself, the more other people will give of themselves. And that's what makes for a great and nurturing relationship. You know, whenever we realize that fulfillment is found in him and how he encourages us to live for him and to serve his purposes, where we begin to realize that we don't have to find fulfillment at the end of an addiction. We don't have to find fulfillment in all the other wrong ways in which can help keep us captive. But instead, we can find fulfillment by seeing other people moving towards Jesus. We can find fulfillment by having him allowing love to dictate the terms of how it is that we live our lives. So whenever we live knowing that, okay, we've got a loving God who loves us and who cares for us, we begin to see that, okay, in that way I can live with him and for him, and that those are the wise steps that I'm taking. As opposed to thinking with our lifestyle that there is no God. I'll live as though there is no God. Because when we begin to live that way, that's when we begin to live in all the wrong ways in our lives. And at the end of the day, that is how our media and that is how even sometimes the people in our lives will encourage us to live. It's like, why serve on a Sunday morning? Like, sleep in. Like, who cares if people get a cup of coffee or not? Who cares if people receive love or not? You know, you're gonna tithe? Why be generous? Why want to see God's kingdom grow? That just doesn't make sense, you know? And the list goes on and on, you know, of how it is that people would encourage us, our unwise world would encourage us to live. But when we decide to choose God's path of wisdom, we begin to choose a way that is so much greater. And that is why it's so important to know that the great need that we have is to pursue wisdom in the midst of this unwise world that we can find ourselves in. So the clip we're going to watch now is a clip that has two scenes attached to it. The first scene you'll notice shows the big, grand, advancing enemy army and its vastness and its size, which can sometimes represent the unwise world around us. And the second part is going to show just a quiet conversation the two of the characters are having, Aragorn and Gandalf. And you'll see that in that conversation, it's quiet, it's a whisper, but it's hopeful. Because they know that there's a quest on the go. And if this quest is achieved, it doesn't matter how big the opposition is. So let's have a look at the clips. Let's go.
A new power is rising. Its victory is at hand. This night, the land will be stained with the blood of Rohan. March to Helm's Deep. Leave none alive.
Sauron and Saruman are tightening the noose. But for all their cunning, we have one advantage. The ring remains hidden. And that we should seek to destroy it has not yet entered their darkest dreams. And so the weapon of the enemy is moving towards Mordor. In the hands of a hobbit, each day brings it closer to the fires of Mount Doom. We must trust now in Frodo. Everything depends upon speed and the secrecy of his quest. Do not regret your decision to leave him. Frodo must finish this task alone.
He's not alone. Sam went with him.
Did he? Did he indeed? Good.
So as you can see, there's this massive army that they have to be up against. This massive advancing opposition. And again, the same can be true with us, that the oppositions that we face, the unwise world that we face, can be so huge, so daunting. Huge and daunting because it's everywhere. You just need to check your algorithm on social media, and it's right there. You know, live with your own interests at heart. You know, get this, don't save, or think about like immigration or whatever. Okay, you choose. So often the world around us is just so big and encouraging us to live in an unwise way. But in the middle of all of that, we can still choose the still quiet path of wisdom. The quiet path that regardless of how loud the noise is, we just know that God's principle says this, God's wisdom says this, God's principle says this. And as we live that way, in the midst of all of that, we find ourselves being successful because we're living in the palm of God's hands, no matter how big or how wide or how far-reaching an enemy lines could seem and could be. So when we live in wisdom, we're living successful lives right in the middle of the enemy's camp. So while others in the office are stressing and are just saying to us that there's no hope in this business, no hope in this place, like it's just run down, it's just one bad thing after another, you can live with quiet wisdom of a great work ethic, great diligence, serving your people well, serving your customers well, loving well, and all of a sudden you're finding that your way of wisdom can lead to success regardless of how loud everyone else is. You know, while everyone else in your family or everyone else that's maybe in your friendship circles that maybe thinking that, you know, give that marriage a quit. You know, just give it, just like she's done you dirty, he's done you dirty. Like, just don't bother anymore. But when you choose and when you decide it, in the midst of how loud everyone is, how loud even the shows that my algorithm on Netflix has just put before me about the same very thing, we can still choose. You know what, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm going to live hard, I'm going to try my best to make sure that this thing works. We'll do the counseling, we'll try find wise ways. And when all is said and done, then I'll reconsider, but I'll try to do the wise thing. And the list goes on and on, that regardless of how vast the enemy lines are, if we choose the way of wisdom, it will be like a quiet quest in the middle of the enemy camp. And God, who has us in the palm of his hand, can lead us to ways of success. So how do we choose to always live wisely in the midst of enemy camps? And how do we always choose to live wisely while others may be loud around us, while our phones could be loud around us? Well, thankfully for us, scripture, which is always so good to have on the back burner, it gives us a very helpful way on how to do this, how to live wisely in an unwise world. You know, Paul says this in Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 20. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, such an amazing scripture that encourages us with five simple principles and how it is that we can keep living wisely in an unwise world. I encourage you to take a picture of it right now. You can just use it and have it whenever you feel like, sure, I wonder what the wise thing is to do. You can just have this image that's going to come up right now. And the first thing that we can do, there it is. The first thing we can do is that we can make the most of every opportunity. In other words, we can decide to follow Jesus and make the most out of following Jesus in every opportunity and not making an excuse and say, oh, I don't feel like it today, or I'm too tired, I'm too sick, I'm too sinful, I'm too anxious, I'm too far from him. Instead, we just use every opportunity to follow him. We're told after all in scripture that the fear of the Lord, in other words, the desire to have a deep reverence for God, the desire to move closer to him, regardless of how everything else around us looks, that desire is the beginning of wisdom. Secondly, we understand what God wants. And we can only understand what God wants when we look to his word. God's scriptures are the only way in which we can find out truly what God wants from us. So when we begin to read God's word and not treat it like our unwise world would treat it, as archaic, distant, out of touch with reality, but actually when we begin to see that it's our livelihood, our daily living for today, for now, and when we begin to see that, we begin to see how God wants us to live in our lives around us. And then be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. In other words, when we are living drunkard, and those, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but those of you who know what a drunkard feeling can feel like, you know, you would know that it's more emotionally driven than it is driven by facts and by principles, you know. You know, it's driven by us feeling like it depends on what type of drunk you may have been in your past days, you know, whether it's somebody who just cries, or somebody who fights, or somebody who goes up in the fetal position, you know. We've seen them all, maybe some of us have been them all, who knows, but it's emotionally driven. And what Scripture encourages us to do is to be base our principles and base how we live off what God's truth says. And when we live our lives off what God's truth says, that's when we become sober-minded and clear in all that we do. And then be filled with the Holy Spirit. And how we become filled with the Holy Spirit is to ask him for his help, ask him for his advice, regardless of what it is that we're doing in our lives. We just ask him for his input in our lives. And as we do that, we find that he is involved and invested in our lives. And then we just grow in our awareness of the Holy Spirit. That's where worship comes into place. Worship in private, worship in public, like on a Sunday, reading a scripture once again, and just having a grateful heart every day. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then the awareness of the Holy Spirit just grows all the more as we do that. And as we apply these, and as we do these every day, we find that regardless of how big the unwise world's opposition is, we're living with quiet confidence that we are on path in the wise way of living. So that's the first leg. The first leg is, the quest has opposition. Now, we don't want to hop along this journey with one leg because that's just exhausting and painful, you know. So we're going to use the second leg as well. And the second leg for the quest is, the quest has great company. The quest has great company. We're going to watch the second clip right now, and it's a clip towards the end of the movie. And it's going to be a bit of a spoiler, but, you know, it's 22 years old. Like, you should have watched it by now, so I'm not even apologetic that I'm spoiling the movie, you know. But in this clip, we'll see that Frodo is dejected and just doesn't know if he can do this journey anymore. And it's only because of Sam's great company and his words, and he finds himself lifted up and able to continue on the journey. So let's have a look at this impactful clip.
I can't do this, Sam. I know. It's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here. But we are. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam?
There's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting for.
Sam was great company. You know, without Sam and those encouraging words, we don't have Lord of the Rings 3, the best out of the movies, out of all three of them. I'm not going to stand corrected. I'm laying down my stake. It's the best out of the three. But because of Sam's encouraging words, you know, Frodo's able to get up and keep going with the quest. And he made for great company because of that. And that's what great company does in our lives as well. Great company helps us and sees us that when we are down and out and dejected, gives us the hope and encouragement and the strength we need to keep going on the journey before us. And for us, great company has two aspects to it. The first aspect of great company is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as mentioned earlier, his presence, his involvement in our lives is so big and so huge that he can able to bring about an awareness of him and help us to make great decisions. But all the while, Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit is our great encourager, the one who comes alongside us, the one who's able to speak Jesus' truth to us in the moments we need it most. And when we have the Holy Spirit alongside us, that makes for great company. And the second aspect of great company is wise counsel. Wise counsel. The wise people around us in our lives. How do you know somebody is wise? Have they got a good track record of making wise decisions? That's a wise person. A parent, a teacher, a mentor, a youth leader, life group leader, you know, somebody who you've seen over the years just make one great decision after another. A wise friend as well. Not any friend, the wise friends, because we all have a mixture of both. But it's our wise friends, our wise people around us that make for great counsel. Proverbs 20 verse 18 encourages us, plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. So keeping company with wise counsel makes us successful. It's good company, great company to keep. So it's so good for us, so wise for us to find the people in our lives who make for good counsel. Now, good counsel or wise counsel, that is, it's not just finding one person who's able to do all. Now, Gandalf is a great character to have for three Lord of the Rings movies, but it's very rare to find somebody who's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all everything in our lives, you know. But what we can find is the kinds of people who are wise in certain areas of their lives and be able to bring them alongside our lives. And when they are collectively a part of our lives, they make for the wise people. And that's what wise counsel is, a collective of people. Wise counsel isn't one person. That's not a counsel, it's a conversation. Wise counsel is a collection of people. So if you need a financial decision that you have to make, find somebody who's wise and got a good track record of making wise financial decisions. And that person, when they come alongside of us, are able to help us to make those wise choices, even though they may not be so great with their spiritual practices, or even though they may not be so great with how it is that they handle relationships. You know, that's an area where they would need wise counsel for as well. So a wise counsel, if you need something that can help you with your marriage, what you do is that you find somebody who's so much further along the journey in terms of how it is that they have kept their fire alive in their marriage, and how it is that they have weathered some big storms in their marriage. And you find them, ask them for their advice. And when we find types of people for every area of our lives that we need help with, we have this collection of people around us, the great company that we need, that when we are feeling like, oh man, I just want to make the decision by myself, emotionally based, they're the people who can come alongside us, prop us up, like Sam did for Frodo, and keep us along the journey and keep us being wise and on this quest for wisdom. So it's so important for us to find those types of people. And hey, if you are struggling to find a company of wise people who are around you, I can encourage you to intentionally look for them. Intentionally look for people who can speak into your life. And a slide's going to come up right now, and you can take a picture of this one as well and keep it on hand, of how it is that we can ask the people in our lives that we're in the areas that we need help with, in the areas where we may be short of wisdom, how it is that you can find somebody to be able to come alongside you. You know, you ask them humbly. Ask them humbly, oh man, please can you help me with this one area? I know you're killing it in this area. Can you help me do the same? Ask thoughtfully. It's like not just help me with my marriage. Like we can start there, you know. But ask a specific question on what it is that you're struggling with. Give them a full scope so they can actually give you a specific response. You know, ask honorably. You know, don't demand your way or demand your time. But if it's somebody that you value and you treasure, you ask them honorably. You say, hey, listen, can you spare me like 5 or 10 minutes? I'll buy you a cup of coffee. I'll buy you something. You know, like I'll buy you a meal. I'll invite you over. But then you ask them in that way. Ask thankfully. You know, you thank them for their time. Thank you for their advice. And then you accept appropriately. And the only appropriate way to accept wise counsel is to actually do it. You know, don't like circle back and be like, hey, so how's that going? Yeah, no, I didn't do it. It's like, that was 4 years ago. Yeah, I know. You know, don't be like that. Rather accept appropriately. And that is actually doing it, no matter how hard it is. Because if it's coming for the wise, it's worth doing. So those are the two legs for our journey for wisdom. Those are the two legs for our quest of a lifetime, finding great counsel or finding great company and knowing that we have opposition. And as we live trying to be wise and as we live trying to find wise counsel, as we live this way, we find ourselves on route towards wisdom, which isn't that far away from us. So we're going to watch one last clip right now. And on the back end of that, we're just going to have a moment of prayer. But this last clip shows the hopelessness of a young, dejected soldier. And as he comes across Aragorn, one of the big characters, one of the big leaders in the movie, and we'll see how it is that he's encouraged in the midst of that hopelessness. So thanks so much, Dean.
Give me your sword. What is your name?
Hollis, son of Hamelmind. The men are saying that we will not live out the night. They say that it is hopeless.
This is a good sword. Halid, son of Hammer. There is always hope.
There is always hope. There's always hope. Now, maybe there's some of us here today who have heard everything so far that we've spoken in the last few minutes about wisdom and have thought, that's cute. But my path, my journey, my quest, I wish I had wisdom 3 years ago, 5 years ago. I wish I had wisdom a decade ago because I've blown it up till now. I've made poor decision after poor decision. I've blown it up till now. Can I encourage you that if you're in that space right now, or in your space right now thinking that oh, I'm just about to make a decision and I just don't know if I'm on track for of doing something wise, but here it is. I've got no choice. I've got no option. There is no hope. Can I encourage you that regardless of where you find yourself today, that there is always hope. There is always hope because there is always wisdom available. There is always hope because we always have a God who can do exceedingly more than we can hope and imagine, and uses wisdom as an avenue in which he can carve in our lives and we can go on the journey. And regardless of whether it's something we've blown decades ago, something we've blown now, he's able to turn it around because he's a God of reconciliation. He's a God of restoration, and he takes broken things, he lifts them up, he puts them together, and uses our wisdom as a mechanism to do so. So can I encourage us that regardless of how you're feeling, where you're at right now, there's always hope because there's always wisdom. And we just need to ask for it. James 1 verse 5, if any one of us is in need of wisdom, ask for it because our generous God will not withhold it from us. So hey, if you are here right now and you find yourself in desperate need of God's wisdom in your life, regardless of what the area is, I'm the first one standing. Can I encourage us to stand? And let's pray for wisdom. Let's ask God for wisdom right now. And as we're asking him for the wisdom that we need right now, we know that we are serving a generous God who, as we apply both these legs of wisdom, he's generously providing wisdom right now for us too. So So Father, we are so grateful, so thankful that you have put us in a position where we can ask you for wisdom. And thank you, Father, that you're so generous, so kind, so good, that you're able to bless us with wisdom, regardless of how hopeless a situation may look and seem. So help us, Lord. Give us the strength, the courage, the energy to just keep sowing and keep investing in these two legs in which we can achieve wisdom in our lives. And help us, Lord, that as we find your wisdom, as we seek your wisdom, Lord, that we may live lives that are successful, that are great, and that are grand. So thank you for your generosity. And help us, Lord, to thrive as we seek your wisdom. In your mighty and powerful name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.